Minnesota Vikings football fans, welcome back to the Living in Loserville podcast, Purple People Eaters Edition. Welcome back. Welcome back. We got a lot to talk about Vikings oriented. I am your host, Chris Carlson. My co-host, Aaron Miller, will be joining us very, very shortly. What are we going to talk about? Well, we're going to talk about the Vikings, for cripe's sake. They're 6-2 at the halfway point. You got to love it. No doubt about it. They're coming off a win. You know, it feels weird to talk about something that happened Thursday and not Sunday. Generally, that's the case. You know, of course, most games are on Sunday. So it feels kind of like a long time ago that they actually played, but it was only Thursday. It wasn't necessarily, you know, a pretty performance against the Redskins overall. We did have some offensive line issues as far as protection and penalties that just killed us in the red zone. So there's a variety of things that we're going to talk about from that Redskins victory. You know, there's plenty to take, you know, good out of it, too. If you look at the time of possession, you look how the ground and pound with Cook and then Mattson later. Cousins was very sharp. Defensively, you know, Keenum, it was kind of hit or miss. We either get a lot of pressure on him and make him fumble, or we give up some more big plays. But they did kind of tighten up in the second half. And obviously, special teams, Bailey. I mean, he definitely – it's kind of nice that hopefully that gave him a little bit more confidence down the stretch. But just in general, sitting at 6-2, you got to be feeling pretty damn good. I remember talking, you know, on the podcast and off air, 2-2, just sitting at 2-2, where are we going to go with our season? And here we are, 4 straight victories. So, of course, we're going to start – by just kind of nutshelling the Redskins win, you know, just because, you know, it did, like I said, happen Thursday. Then we got to preview the Kansas City game on the road at the Chiefs. Oh, I mean the Chiefs. And obviously we got a little preview last night when the Packers took them on. So we'll definitely preview and predict, break that Chiefs game down. It's a really big game. The next 4 games are really, really crucial. And 3 out of those 4 games, you know, at the Cowboys, at the Seahawks, and at the Chiefs in that realm. Now, obviously, we got a home game too, but this is a crucial part of the season, and it's just a must to get one of these road games. Period. At least one, obviously, but just get one of them. We got to get one of them. So we're definitely going to predict that game, break that down, and whatnot, and. I do have a rant, so to speak. We'll kind of give an overview of the season. I think that'll be more of, you know, gopher talk. We do, you know, we talk Vikings 90% of the podcast. But at the end, we figure there is a percentage of you folks that just support Minnesota football. And how can't you support this Gopher team right now sitting at 8-0? They got 4 games left. So we may give kind of an overview of that season as well so far. And because we don't have anything to predict for next week, because Penn State is the week after the Battle of the Unbeatens at home. That's something that you don't say much, if ever. Actually, I don't think this late in the season they've ever had 2 undefeated teams going, you know, including Minnesota anyway. So, yeah, we're definitely going to break all this stuff down. Like I said, a ton to talk about. How are the Gophers going to finish? Of course, the Vikings, because this is what the podcast is about. You know, these crucial road games, obviously, you know, is Mahomes going to play? It seemed like this week he probably would play against us. Go figure, Green Bay doesn't get him. We do. Welcome to Loserville. But I don't know. Some of the reports are kind of wishy-washy. Now it seems like maybe he won't. So anyway, we're definitely going to discuss all this. And by the way, if this is your first time listening to the Living in Loserville podcast, you can stream it live right here. It archives at blogtalkradio.com/ropeitoverradio. It archives. It's the home base. However, if you want to listen to this Vikings podcast, The Living in Loserville, you can find it everywhere under Ropeadope Radio. Okay. You can find it on iTunes, Player FM, Stitcher, Spricker. You get the message. Tune in. We get a lot of listens from TuneIn over the years. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found everywhere, including iHeartRadio, and Spotify. I forgot to mention that. In fact, you can do your Siri or Alexa. Use those through TuneIn or Spotify to find the Living in Loserville podcast under the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast or The Grueling Truth. While you're at it, head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. It's football. It's basketball. It's baseball. It's boxing. It's everything in between. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu. That's betnow.eu. And it's TGT for the promo code. TGT promo code as in the grueling truth. And right now, you know, we're in full football swing. Basketball's picking up. Look at the Timberwolves, right? Speaking of Minnesota stuff, they're starting out 3-0. Cats looking pretty crazy. Wiggins is clutch. What's going on? But anyway, there's a lot. My point to the story here in the blabbing that's going on right now is the sports is in full swing, and it will be for quite some time. So whether you have a cable package or you're not, whether you're happy with it or not, you should at least check it out. If you're thinking about cutting the cord, maybe you have, and like I said, you're not happy, try AT&T TV now, okay? There's a seven-day free trial. However, the plans start as low as $50. Right now, that includes HBO. You can stream it anywhere, no annual contract. They got the cloud DVR. Try AT&T TV now. It's streaming cable, basically. All righty. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host to start chopping it up about this Viking squad here. But you know, let me check the temperature of my co-host and, you know, just see how he's doing in general. We call it Living in Loserville, but we've been doing a lot of winning, of, you know, the last four games, October. We didn't lose in October. How you feeling just in general, sir?
I'm feeling good. You know, just a lot of things going through my head at the moment. You got rankings and non-rankings and games remaining and possible schedules and halfway points of the season and all that stuff just kind of washing around. It's been an exciting year so far, both on the college level and with the Vikings. So, yeah, I mean, talking about O-line stuff, what's going to happen, what has happened, all of it sort of halfway point of the season. We can kind of get into what we think about where we stand and what's left to finish. And talking about the offensive line, I was talking about the penalties they had last game against the Redskins and accrued to quite a few. Elf line got tagged quite a few times. I'm wondering if they saw something, maybe if the refs came or if the other coach went to the refs, saw something. But, you know, they showed the replay on some of those and they didn't really look all that bad holding calls that he was getting. So, I don't know, maybe something to clean up and see where the O-line goes from there.
Yeah, it's a good call. They really hurt us in the red zone too, man. It was just like, you know, we moved the ball very well up and down the field a lot of the times, but that those penalties hurt us. But you're right. Sometimes you see the replay and you're like, huh, so that's a penalty. Okay, gotcha. But even, you know, with that, it's not like the offensive line had a horrible, you know, day. I mean, pass protection, sure, they were inconsistent. We did finally get some sacks. It had been two straight games. I think they only gave up one sack in the last game before this. I don't think Cousins got sacked, but he did get a lot of pressure. Most of it seemed to come on, you know, when we were in the Skins territory too, or like I said, in the red zone. But either way, they still opened up a bunch of holes for the running game. And it was kind of funny. Just kind of going with that ground and pound theme in the backfield. Cook will, you know, pound it, but also give you the shake and shimmy and turn on the speed, as we know. Whereas Mattson, he can give you a little shake and give you a little speed, a little burst, but he's just a, you know, hard-nosed runner. You know, near the end of the game, he like broke off a run, got called back. Broke off another one, got called back from holding, and then broke off another one on like third and 16 or whatever. That was pretty fun to see, and you know, it had to feel pretty damn good. Let's just start right away, okay? Diggs, long gain, and for whatever reason, I think one of them earlier this year was a short play where he caught it, made a football, quote-unquote, football move, and then fumbled it. But most of the time it's been after the catch, deep down the field, almost working as like a punt, unfortunately. I guess fortunately, it matters how you look at it that way. But Aaron, what is going on You know, we had Fumbaruski last year and a little bit earlier this year with Cousins, good old Cousins. You know, he's good for a couple fumbles every once in a while during a game, let alone a whole season. But what's going on with five fumbles, four of them we've lost? What's going on with Diggs in this protection of the ball? So I was talking to some people at the bar the other day, and they're like, you know, it's because he makes those cuts. And I'm like, yeah, I hear you, but you got to make those cuts. Don't make the cut. Well, I don't know about all that. How about just double up, you know, put two hands on the ball? And it's funny because you see him do that after yards at the catch once, you know, actually on that Detroit game when we put the game on ice with that bomb. He had two hands on the ball, and he kind of just got tackled. What is going on with Diggs? Most of it's positive. In fact, you know, generally all of it's positive except for this random fumble issue this year. I don't get it.
He, you know, you can take it back to the offseason when they had all the, you know, the Instagram posts and trade this, trade that, Diggs going to Washington. And you and I were like, yeah, you know, we'll see what happens. He just signed a deal and weren't too worried about it. And then, you know, as the season's been progressing, I know every show I've been like, Diggs just doesn't seem right. You know, I remember saying that against the Green Bay game. There's just something off about him. And, you know, last year, I don't know how many fumbles he gave up, but he didn't give up many. I mean, more of it like missed games is what he had than as opposed to turnovers. And I don't know if he's just, you know, lack of, you know, a lapse in judgment or what's going on with the fumbling. But, you know, it's just kind of been an issue, quote unquote. Quote, all sort of season. You know, if it's not this thing, it's another thing. And watching him in an interview with Kirk after the game, it just seemed like those two aren't real comfortable with each other. So I don't know what's going on with Diggs. Like you said, it's a little bit of good and a little bit of bad. It's all kind of mixed together. And it just, you know, he has always been a steady player where it's always been good or nothing with him. And so it's hard to say what's going on this season, except for, you know, he keeps making plays. He keeps catching balls or not catching balls like he did in Detroit. He missed that one. But yeah, just he's been inconsistent and still very, very good. And that's an interesting a situation to look at. I don't really know what to say because I don't know him. But yeah, something's just hasn't been the same. I won't say something's right or something's wrong, but it's been different this season.
And maybe because we've been throwing so many deep bombs that he's like, hey, I haven't had this much yards after the catch. And I guess maybe I had this problem. I just didn't realize it. I don't know what it is, but
it's also the same.
Go ahead.
It's also the same kind of situation on the other side of the ball you got with Xavier Rhodes. You know, good play, great play, yes, penalty, right. Penalty.
What the hell was
touchdown
that?
Catch, yeah. On him. You know, good play, a little bit of attitude, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
They seem
to
be
kind of. Yep, they seem to be little mirror images of each other on different sides of the ball. I hear people calling for the benching of Rhodes, and I'm just like, whoa, slow down, wait a minute. You know, let's think about alternatives. Let's think about this guy's career. And I know Zimmer's, you know, really fond of him, and I don't want to speak for Zimmer, but you think, you know, maybe Zimmer seems like the kind of guy that might play a guy longer than he needs to get played just due to loyalty, you know what I mean? And he can't really fault him for that. But hopefully there's someone on his staff that can say to him, you know, hey, Mike, maybe this is a good time to sit this guy down. Now, I don't know if that's the answer for Rhodes, but he's got to clean up. Obviously, whatever he used to get away with, he's not getting away with anymore, and he's getting an awful lot of penalties.
Yeah, and that's a great point, and I like that comparison too. And I suppose we are dealing with the two drama queens at all times besides the quarterback, of course, is the wide receivers and the cornerbacks. So there's always going to be some stuff going on, I suppose. But that's a good transition because, case in point, you know, we were talking about 2 weeks ago how we've never seen him give up. It's hard for him. He barely gives up touchdowns, let alone two in a game. But when you go back to the actual touchdown, first of all, he had three targets all game. And they threw the ball in that Detroit game. So I think people were going a little over the top, because it's a popular thing to do, especially on social media. Not to say he hasn't struggled. It's just been a mixed bag. You're totally correct on that. And case in point, instead of that pass interference call that he got that costed us 40 yards, he could have just turned around and made the interception. But he didn't even know the ball was coming, and that's not like him. Even that second touchdown last week against Detroit, he swiped. He was in position. He swipes. you know, 99 out of 100 times he knocks that down, no problem. He missed it, but he was in coverage. You know, the first touchdown, that was just a bang bang play. That's going to be tough for anybody to cover, but that's a really good point, man. It really turned into a long penalty into something he could at least knock down, if not intercepted. And it was kind of one of those start and stop type of games. Keenum mates along with the offense made some big plays. Of course, AP had to have like a nice little 20 something yard scamper just for old time's sake, where he made a great cut and ran someone, or, you know, kind of juke someone, knock someone out, and, you know, did his thing. So that was nice to see, as long as it wasn't going to hurt us, obviously. But with Keenum, he was either making big plays or he was getting sacked and fumbled. It's kind of funny that he came back here and had three fumbles, when we all know that's what we're really, you know, that's like the biggest problem with Cousins, actually, is his fumbling in the pocket. Cook had it was like a first and 20 screen, got like 18 yards on it. Just a wonderful play from Cook that we're, you know, used to seeing. There was another fumble later. I think Linval Joseph made the sack and did that. Yeah, I think that's what he did. But in the red zone, you know, Diggs got us down there, a nice catch and run. And the drive was kind of heavy Cook and Mattson. But we got down there and there's back-to-back sacks on Cousins. And it wasn't like he was holding the ball too long or anything like that either. And we just couldn't get out of our own way. At 6'6", you know, we're like, okay, we're still in good shape. We are outplaying them yardage-wise and all that. We just got to tighten up in the red zone. That's basically what the game came down to. But I did like that two-minute drive, Aaron. It was really a Cook play, too. I mean, Cook got us down there, got the TD and all that. Great. Like 31 yard run, I think, to get it down there. So you're sitting at 13-6 at half. I was feeling pretty good because of that 2 minute drill. How were you feeling at half? And what was your takes just in general from the first half as we got into the second half?
I was feeling pretty good because, like you said, we seemed to be in control of the game, although the score wasn't exactly the same. You know, it was like a, you knew you were winning, you just didn't have any proof sort of a situation. And he, you know, the first half, you know, you said Case Keenum had fumbled a few times, and that's true, but he was really kind of lighting us up, and it was a little bit worrying. Now, it seemed like it was a bend but don't break type of situation, but he was getting long passes. It seemed like he knew where to go with the ball against our defense, and it was fortunate that he went out, not for him but for us. And I really feel like it would have been a much closer game had he stayed in the game. But, yeah, the halftime, you know, I was feeling confident because I felt like we were running the ball well. We weren't giving up scores. We were giving up yards, but not scores. A lot of that was self-inflicted wounds by the Redskins. But, you know, whatever it is, you'll take it at home. I just thought we'd be a little bit more in command score-wise, and that was a little shocking that we weren't.
Yeah, you're right. The scoreboard didn't represent what was happening on the field, but – as we know, you look at hockey, you look at soccer/football for all those Europeans and everybody else. I'm sorry. But like that, you know, there is some times where you can sit there and dominate. You can get all these shots on goal and all that. And then just one so-so goal goes through, or cheap goal at that. And you're, you know, it's 1-0 or 1-1. So, yeah, you're right. It just wasn't lining up. They did come out. Now they got to Keenum, hurt him, and you know that brought in Haskins, and that helped us a lot, because you're right, it was either like we were either putting that pressure on him and hitting him and making him turn it over, or he was making some big plays. He definitely was making some big plays. Cook did drop a screen pass, and then there's two throwaways, I believe. But other than that, we haven't even talked about Cousins, but considering what the game was, he was very efficient. But we did get another, you know, long pass to Diggs that kind of set it up to get to 16-6. I like that. First time we had the ball in the second half, went for 10 plays, 82 yards. And we didn't get into the 90s this week, but there was three straight weeks where we got a 90-yard scoring drive. Now, they came right back and had a nice, you know, field goal drive. And then we turned the ball over on downs. And this is where it was 16-9 at that point. And this is where it got a little dicey. This is the only time where I went, huh, Okay, now wait a second, and I forgot to mention some of those penalties were the things first and goal that we that got us in problems there. But this is kind of the point where I thought, man, this is a little shiesty. One, I want your opinion on should we have gone for it or not where we were on the field, because we turned it over on downs. Now, two plays later, fortunately, we got an interception, but it was a little shiesty. Johnson caught a nice ball, and it was a decent pattern, but it was third and 12, and he didn't run it. Maybe just a rookie mistake. He didn't run it long enough to pick it up because he was open. He would have got it. Little mistake there. What'd you think of the thought process of going for it at that moment? Yeah, sure, you could say we were moving the ball because we just came off a drive and all that. And it seemed like we were trying to, you know, put our foot on their neck maybe too early. And that could have backfired when you're sitting there looking at a 16-9 game. What were your thoughts about going for it on fourth and short on our side of, what was that, at like the 40 or 35, something like that?
Yeah, that's Zimmer, you know? I mean, if you can't get 1 yard on offense, you got problems anytime, you know? If you can't get 1 yard anytime, there's issues. I'm thinking like he would probably think right now. And you got to trust your defense, which he does almost to a fault. So you got to think. I agreed at the time. I thought, yeah, go for it. You know, you can get 1 yard. Now, I didn't like the play call. I'm not a huge fan of Cousins on quarterback sneaks. I thought you could have got 1 yard another way. But, you know, I was for the call. I thought we'd get the yard, and it didn't work out that way. Put your defense in a tough spot. But like I said, you got to trust that defense, and he does, and so I didn't have a problem with it. I was fine with it. Unfortunately, it didn't work out.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't, like, screaming at the TV. I did put a little, you know, in my notes, a little question mark. Was it a bad call? Was it a good call? I wasn't, like, bent out of shape, but I sure was a little more nervous when they got the ball back at that position, though. You know, I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. They just had a nice drive, too. But, you know, we did end up getting, you know, what was it? Was it Harris? I think it was Harris who got the interception. It was a high pass that got out of hand, and we know how that could go.
Well, I'm just the whole time at that point, I'm just thinking, like, why is this game so close? You know, we should have been way ahead. We've been out playing them, and, you know, I'm not saying that in the fanboy sort of way. I'm saying that literally. We've been out playing them. We just haven't been executing when it matters, and that's kind of what it boiled down to. But it was like, you know, you should have this game put away, and that's why I really had no problem with him trying to put it away. You know, if you can put the game away, I don't think there's any such thing as too early. You know, if you can do it, you know, and they finished off the game with a great drive. I love when you finish a game by just, they can't stop you offensively, and you just, you know, first down. We'll get into that a little bit with those three runs by Madison, which I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. I guess my thing, based off what you were just saying about putting the game away, I agree. Although I would say, let's say we were at, you know, we weren't in our own territory, you know, like we were at, you know, the 38 or the 42 or even the 45. To me, that's where you go, okay, let's try to put this game away. And then, you know, I don't mind it as much. It was a little shaky at that point, but like I said, I wasn't like, oh, we're fucked. But it did, I don't know. It just, I do agree with you. If you got to get a yard, you got to get a yard. But you can't always get a yard, I guess, right? But as far as Cousins, I mean, he's been our short yardage back this year, dude. Remember? Remember those early games? He was our short yardage back. So I think they just had a lot of confidence in our short yardage guy, Cousins, man. I think they put on like 4 pounds of muscle in the off season. So I think he's ready for those short downs and distances. But luckily, like I said, Harrison got it back. Diggs had a really great sideline catch on a third down. And Cousins and Diggs, or just Cousins in general on third down, has been mighty impressive this year. Cousins kind of slid, dare I say, off schedule to out of the pocket a little bit and got to Irv Smith for that first down. Irv Smith putting on the burners. But then, you know, it's fourth quarter, 12:32 on the clock. I marked this down. First and 20, you know what I mean? Like holding, you know, it's first and 20, first and 25. And it's like, yeah, we're just going to get field goals, aren't we? And sure enough, we did. And I noticed on 3rd and 15, Diggs wasn't in the lineup. And I thought, are you tired or what's going on? We need you in the lineup. Call timeout just to keep Diggs in the lineup, but whatever. It was 19-9. Then, you know, defense showed right back up. And like you said, the Cookie Monster just took over. And then Mattson with that long run, dude. That we just grounded and pounded him, man. And yeah, it was actually, I wrote it down, dude, a 28-yard run on a 3rd and 19. Or was it a screen? I can't remember. It doesn't matter.
No, it was a run. It was a run. The best part of that is he had two called back before that.
Right.
Two great runs, you know, and it was just like, okay, you want to give him another chance? Okay, let's do it again. Pull it back a little bit. So, yeah, it turned out to be 3rd and forever. And he just ran it again, and it was just like, all right, that had to have just broke the backs of Washington's defense at that point, even though game situation was what it was. I mean, if you're going to give that up, you're done, you know, and they did. And I just like to see, I know a couple years ago, we had a game that we ran the ball out at the end too against Atlanta. Like that's the best way to go out winning is, you know, you got 10 minutes on the clock or whatever, and you just eat the rest of the clock and go home. That's the best way to win as far as I'm concerned.
And to make it 19-9, we had a 12 play, 59 yard drive, 6:23. And just to, you know, piggyback off your point, 14 play drive, 62 yards, 8 minutes and 16 seconds, dude. 8 minutes in the NFL. It's like that drive is nuts, dude. You're right. It is nice. It had to feel good for Mattson to get that third one. And I love he was starting to get the high knees in there too. Like, oh no, I'm not going down. I'm spinning. I'm high kneeing. I don't care. Get out of my way. And once again, we've talked about this a couple times now. You know, they had 10 first down passes, which, you know, odds are you're going to have, if you're going to get first downs, a good chunk of them probably will be passed, right? Because that's the whole point of third down a lot of times anyway. But only 3 rushing first downs, whereas we had 9, but the Vikes also had 10. Rushing first downs. And that's something we've done really well basically the last month in 8 of 15, which is, you know, over 50% on third down, which was so key. 1 of 3 on fourth down, but that one at the end of the game, that, you know, that doesn't really, you know, matter. But dude, you're right about the scoreboard. It wasn't really telling you what was going on the field, and a lot of that was self-inflicted stuff. But when you outgain someone 434 to 216, and you're looking at a time possession, dude, 36-36 to 23-24, and 41 plays in today's NFL, Aaron, 67 to 41. I mean, to run 26 more plays, it just really tells you what the hell was going on in that game, regardless of only 19-9, you know?
I know.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I got it, man. I started talking and I pulled it back. But yeah, I mean, you know, let's talk a little bit about the defense. They gave up some stuff. Now, I'm going to chalk it up to just Keenum's familiarity with them. You know, going against them in practice for that season. He probably knows where the bones are buried in that defense, and he was going at it. So, you know, I'm not going to think too much about it. And then, we went over Xavier Rhodes a little bit. And the defensive line is a lot better than I thought it would be after missing Sheldon Richardson. So at the halfway point here, you know, it's not as stingy as it was a couple years ago. It's kind of like last year's defense. And I mean, on the whole here, I thought the safety position, that free safety or whatever, I don't know if he frees strong guys with Zimmer's system. I think you just have 2 safeties. Sure. And it seems like Harris is an upgrade from Sendejo. He seems to make tackles and wraps up. So we like that. We don't talk about that this season. The missile.
I mean, I like hits as much as the next guy, but I like the guy to stay hit.
Right. I still remember that run. Cam Newton just shook him. This was probably 4 years ago, and Zendejo was just left catching air. But and he actually tried to wrap the air up that time, which was interesting. But So I mean, where do you stand on the defense this season? Is it better than last year? And you know, I don't know if that's an important question, but I feel like there's going to be some needs in the off season that are more than our usual needs of defensive line. I think that's good with the young kids we have coming up. I think our linebackers are probably the best tandem in the NFL. So the secondary is an issue. Do we trust Mike Hughes? What about Holton Hill? He should be coming back, what, this week? It's 8 games, so he should be coming back and ready to play. We got Curse, who got in a little bit of trouble this weekend. We got Harrison Smith. Obviously, he's not going anywhere. But what about our corners? We've got, you know, Waynes could be gone after the season. Now, that's not nothing to do with this season, but next year. You know, I guess I'll quickly say Hughes I trust, but he needs a little seasoning. Rhodes is, you know, I think he's on the way down off of his prime. He can still play if he gets his head together. So I think we're fine for this season. But, you know, I don't know. The trust level in the secondary, I think, is starting to go down a little bit from a fan point of view. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, we talk so much about the offense because that was like the horrible thing last year. Both run and pass a lot of the times, especially run. But you know, it gives up maybe two or three extra big plays a game this year. So maybe it is a bend that don't break. You got to give them credit for second half, you know, adjustments, but, you got all week to make some adjustments. You know what I mean? You don't need to come out and give big plays up all the time. So that's a little troublesome. The consistent pressure is what I'm looking for as well, because there's times where Keenum was just in, you know, the Rook too was just like, they had like 5, 6, 8 seconds, you know, and then other times where, you know, our defensive ends are meeting each other at the quarterback. So it's been inconsistent, but just a lightly, you know what I mean? We can't sit there and destroy them by any stretch because they're still around there, but the passing game, you're right. Sometimes that's pressure. A lot of times, though, we've seen it has been the corner play because they're not getting beat. How many times have we seen these guys get beat where they're doing a penalty out of, like, desperation where you go, oh, that's a smart penalty. I appreciate that penalty. No, it hasn't been that at all, especially on the two starters. So,
Mackenzie Alexander has played really well in the slot. You know, you don't hear a lot from him because he's doing a good job. You know, a slot corner you don't want to hear a lot from. And I think he's done a really good job. I think he deserves to have something said about it. You know, I think the last one with Captain Munnerlin, who got the infamous look from Zimmer on the sideline when Demi got burnt. That was the end of him. But, so I thought he played really well. And he has been playing really well. So I trust that. I just think the outside corner spots now are starting to be an issue. One, Waynes is fine if we re-sign him. And then we've got Rhodes on the other side. What do you want to do about it? You've got young talent coming up. So, you know, that's an interesting question, maybe for later. But, you know, I think they've been inconsistent, and they need to buckle down a little bit.
That's really it. Inconsistency. You're right there. Make the play. You know, I mean, that nutshells it so perfectly this last week, you know, as a 40-yard play or something like that. And, I mean, you just put – that's why I think right now it is mental. With Rhodes, like I said, the roads are detoured right now. You can still go through them. It's just going to take you a little longer. You're going to have to go around the other block and stuff. They're not closed, though. That's for sure. But you're right. There's just something about it. Like, dude, turn your head around. You're right there. The ball. You didn't even look for the ball. Like, you're right there, dude. What are you doing? You're way better than this, you know? And I also think that the reason why we just keep talking about Rhodes is because at one point in time, 2-3 years ago, he was the best corner in the league. When you have a nickname Rhodes Closed, you're gonna have more pressure. And a lot of times a good coach should expect the most out of their best players. And that's why, and obviously he's a corner, so he's gonna get a mouthful regardless. From the one-eyed bandit, there's Zimmer, because he's a corner. And here we're halfway through the season, Aaron. You're trying to get us to draft another first-round pick at cornerback, aren't you?
We need to address
this today. Like, oh, here we go. Did Zimmer call you? Did you get an email from Zimmer?
No, it's all right. So here's what my little thing on Rhodes. All right. So I like him. I've always liked him. You know, he's Florida State. The ties run deep. But this is the impression I'm getting, is that he's getting thrown at a lot more, and this offends him. And so, you know, he's used to being out there and not being tested because he's perceived to be so good. Well, now they're testing him, and he's not doing well against those tests, which means that they're going to throw at him more. And now we got to go possibly play Mahomes, who's going to find the weakest part of that defensive secondary. And right now, unfortunately, that happens to be Xavier Rhodes, whether it's penalties or just giving up catches. Now, what's that going to do to his confidence if he goes and gets just peppered by Mahomes in Kansas City? Is that going to, you know, he doesn't seem to have the
or
most...
worse, Matty right. Moore. Whatever it's Matty Moore, it'll tighten his ass up.
Right. So what he needs to do is have a great game and show them to stay away from him. Because he's not doing that. And the more he doesn't show them that they need to stay away from him, the more they're going to go at him. It's going to compound the problem. And, you know, it's going to be a feedback loop of just, you know, him getting his confidence going down, him getting thrown on, people making catches, him getting frustrated, making penalties. You see where I'm kind of going here? Mm-hmm. Where it just can kind of just snowball out of control. He needs to, you know, tighten up and have a great game, and maybe they'll stay away from him.
One thing I'll say, though, he's getting challenged more, but if you flash back, especially last week, but if you flash back to those two touchdowns he gave up, he only got three balls thrown out of 42. So I also think his name is what people are all about too. You know what I mean? So I think that plays into it. Whereas last week, I think he had a much poorer game than I did the week before. I really do. He only got, you know, targeted three times. So he just gave up two touchdowns. And I know that sounds like a fanboy to be like, yeah, but go back and look at those touchdowns. Not many corners are going to make those plays, especially that first one. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I think it is mental right now. And I like the way you said, you know, when he's getting challenged, it's been hit or miss. And that's generally not the case. And Mahomes, you know, Seattle and Dallas, especially Seattle, they got themselves a nice little quarterback there too. Obviously, we're going to have to go to Rodgers, you know, second to last game. So, yeah, that's a good point, man. That's a really good point. Even the Chargers, we know a guy named Philip Rivers. So he's going to have to, like you said, get that great game where he's just, you know, the first three games or whatever, he was like, oh, Rhodes who? Rhodes cut Rhodes? I don't think so, because remember, he shut down Jones, and he was playing really good. But, yeah, you're right. It's been inconsistent. Go ahead. You were going to say something.
Well, I was just going to say Rhodes at his best, all right? Let's just talk about that. At his best, he's a very good corner. He's not up there with Dion. He's not up there with Ramsey. You know, he's in that high second tier of corners, right?
I disagree with that. Okay, first of all, we can't say Dion because he's not in the league anymore. He's gone. Okay.
Right. I'm but just talking about
2 years ago, 3 years ago, he's the best corner in the league, or at least right there. I don't call that second tier. If you're 1A, 1B, 1C, that's not second tier to me.
I mean, how many real star corners do we have? I mean, in the league right now, you got Ramsey. You got what? Maybe Patrick Peterson. Not
it's
many.
Tough, dude. When they throw the ball 60 times, it's tough to be a shutdown corner anymore, huh?
Well, right. And so my point is, I guess, is what I'm saying is, even at his greatest, I don't think he was the greatest. You know, he's good, very good. He's been coached up to be very good. He's very good against big physical receivers. I think in that category, he's one of the best or not the best. If you got Julio Jones on the docket, that's the guy you want guarding him. But, you know, you get on the shiftier, like Edelman ate him up against the Patriots. Little guys, little shifty dudes. And that's a matter of physics. That's not a tough argument, you know.
You know, he's more effective with press, no doubt about it. You're right.
Or those mid-range guys like Marvin Jones, like, ate him up. So, and, you know, he was in position, Chris. Like you've been saying all show, he's been in position. So it's that thing where he either doesn't have a head turned around or he's swiping the air. He's just a little step behind, I would say not literally, but figuratively, just a step behind. He needs to catch up, and they'll really solidify the defense.
I think that really sums it up perfectly right there. He's just a step behind. He's a step slow this year. And it may be a half a step. And like you said, it's not the actual step because he's right with this man. But you're right. There's just something not clicking. We know that position is mentally driven. It really is because it just keeps coming. And like you said, if you're already kind of lacking and pissed off, embarrassed too. I think he's embarrassed sometimes too. And yeah, to give it up and then give it up again and then get a penalty. It is a lot of frustration. Definitely. Anything else you want to talk about Vikings wise, as far as this game or just kind of in between before we get into this Kansas City road game that isn't going to be easy. Arrowhead is always a tough place to play, regardless of who's starting. And we found that out last night. The Packers ended up having a really tough go at it, even without Mahomes.
So we kind of worked in our half season roundup into our take on the game. So yeah, so many question marks going into Kansas City. Who's going to start at quarterback? Who's healthy? Who's not? There's a lot of questions going on. What they just did to the Packers. Now, I thought they had a pretty successful game, the Chiefs, against the Packers. They weren't able to win, but they pulled ahead in the fourth and caused Rodgers to lead a drive to win, which unfortunately he did. Matt Moore doesn't look so beatable now. You know, if you have to go in there, you still got to worry about Tariq Hill. They got a couple backs. They got Shady McCoy. They got Sammy Watkins, who played really well last night. So it's an interesting matchup. Now, that's the Matt Moore matchup where you got to worry about, you know, Travis Kelce in the running game. You throw Mahomes in there against his defense. I guess if there's any defense suitable to go up against Mahomes, it would be our defense. But I'm just having a hard time trying to figure out what wrinkles you can do. I guess you play him like Rodgers. You know, you come up the field. You don't rush too hard. You kind of contain Mahomes and try to get him to go to a second option, make him make tough throws. And you just hope that your rush is good enough up the middle where you can really be a problem for him. His receivers aren't the greatest, but it'll be interesting to see the scheme that they go with. Against him, it's got to be something like Rodgers. I mean, I know that Mahomes is a little bit more mobile than Rodgers. He's a little bit more of a gunslinger than Rodgers, and that's tough to say because Rodgers will sling it around. But yeah, it's an interesting matchup, and defensively, it'll be a real struggle, I think. I think offensively, we're going to need to put points on the board, 30, 32, something like that.
And by the way, when we're done with this preview and predictions, I have to I missed a offensive line mid-season review 1500 rant. I just remembered it. I think we ranted off air and I got it out of my chest and I didn't even think about it, but I forgot about that. We got to get to that. But anyway, as of right now, this is Ian Rappaport. He's pretty, you know, pretty good. He said that Patrick Mahomes should be back against the Titans in week 10. And the reason why he was so fortunate revolves around how blah, blah, blah. But basically, there's an outside chance. This is what it's quoted as, outside chance to play against the Vikings next week. But probably not. Probably not. And you figure Mahomes, not this season or not just this season, but in general, the fact that he's such a piece to their franchise, do they really want to, you know, screw this up? Would they rather baby him? You know, they're 5-3 now, or maybe 6-3. But no, they're 5-3. So obviously a lot has to do with that. You know what I mean? A lot has to do with that. And I forgot to say, you know, we didn't talk about Cousins at all. Cousins had a damn good game considering he was 23 of 26. 88.5%. He set the record for highest completion games, minimum 20 attempts, surpassing this country boy, this guy named, what's his name, Farfra? Brett Farfra? Is that how you say that? I don't remember. Another little item here, no team has scored less than 20 points when winning a game without a single punt since 2000 until the Vikings did it, usually the last 10 years. When you're, you know, you don't punt it means you're averaging 40 points, which, you know, that makes sense because it's like the Rams or whatever, or, you know, obviously the Chiefs or whoever, the Rams back in the 2000s early. And then now too, I forgot to mention that little fun fact, but as far as Mahomes, I have a feeling that he's not going to play. And then if he does play, are they going to be just, you know, like so excited to have him rolling out all the time and maybe put him on the move will get him hit less rather than be in the pocket. That makes sense too. And his leg slash gunslinger, that's where he reminds me of Rodgers before he aged a little bit. And don't tell that to Rodgers because, you know, it looked like last night he was throwing a ball away and he was like, no, I'm not throwing it away. I'm just throwing it where only my guy can get it. Oh, by the way, that's a touchdown. You know, Thielen, it sounds like there's a pretty good shot of him being back. We'll see. Obviously, a guy like Kendall Fuller at cornerback, I believe he went to Virginia Tech for the Chiefs. You know, they need all the help they can get defensively. And I think that, like you said it, man, their defense is not that good at all. And they're giving up, you know, they don't run the ball that well. In fact, they run at 83 yards per game. We would have been desperate for that last year. But 160 we do. So that's basically double. However, they're putting up 320 in the passing. So we know that why they don't, you know, run the ball a whole lot because, you know, their system's a little bit different like that. They got the West Coast in there with Andy Reid and whatnot, but they're giving up 145 compared to us 89, and they're giving up a ton of passing yards. So, you know, the defense is, it's going to be a shootout, and the defense is just going to have to, they're going to bend. They're going to have to stretch before this game, right? They're going to bend. I mean, Chiefs are going to make a bend, even if it is Matty Moore in the backfield there or, you know, in the for the quarterback position. But I don't know, man. I feel pretty confident. First of all, Arrowhead is a horrible place to play. It's tough. So the turnovers, knock on wood, is going to be key. I'm talking to you, Cousins, and now we got to talk to you, Diggs. We can't have them. We just can't have them. If things happen, you get one, no big deal, but we can't, you know, give them the ball in our territory because of a sack where Cousins just wasn't taking care of the ball. We just can't do it. And if we get a big play, we got to capitalize. And so the offensive line has to play consistent with the penalties as well. And the defense has had their share of shitty, you know, in fact, to finish that, shitty penalties. Timely penalties against us, and that can't happen as much either. Now, sure, you're going to be off the edge. You know, Everson Griffith is good for a 5-yard penalty. Those aren't as bad, but it's the key ones that come on third down where you had them off the field, and now some late hit or whatever. You know, and we all know NFL, they're very inconsistent on what they call a hit on a quarterback, and it's weak to say the least. A lot of this stuff is weak. But, you know, it is what it is. That's how they call them. So we got to play within the rules or whatever you want to call it. But, yeah, man, I mean, the defense is going to have to try. What's their average? They're averaging 28 points. If they can keep them right around that average, 31 to 28, 34 to 31, 34, 30, that's the type of game it's going to be. And you're right. We're going to have to put up points. And it's funny. Our offense has played so good. Except, you know, the penalties that kept us out, you know, that screwed us up in the red zone. Prior to that, though, against the Skins last Thursday, they were great in the red zone. One of the best in the red zone, period. So, yeah, man, we're going to have to really just – I really want to run the shit out of the ball, too, to the point where maybe it was a little bit more – a little too much running, but just to keep that potent offense – off the field that the Chiefs had, no matter, like you said, if it's Moore or Mahomes, the defense is just going to have to make a play here and there, whether it's in the red zone, forcing a field goal, whether it's a turnover, whatever it is, you got to almost, it's got to almost be like last week where we pile up all these yards, but they don't have 38 points behind it.
Yeah, I was just going to, you know, say the same thing that you said about you want to shorten the game, so you want to run the ball, try to keep their offense off the field. And, you know, this show knows, the state knows, Mahomes is going to play. You know, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But, you know, it's just the way things go. It's like that Nebraska game last year. He's going to play, you know.
Right.
So I made two scores, and I'm really excited to hear your rant. I don't know what it's about, so I'm interested to hear it. You seem to be pretty passionate about it. So I'm going to give you a score for if we got Matty Moore, I think we win that game, 28-24, something like that. And then now Mahomes is a whole different story. We're going to try to run the ball. They're going to know we're going to try to run the ball, yada, yada, yada. So with Mahomes, I think we lose it, 42-24. It just, you know, I'm seeing Everson come around the edge and miss Mahomes. I'm seeing Rhodes getting frustrated, getting picked on. You know, I just don't see that's a good situation. On the road, in Arrowhead, Kirk Cousins, all that good stuff. So I hope the sky doesn't fall after that game and we lose, but it's just one game in a long season. But it might, at the end of that game, it might look a little darker than it looks today.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It's funny, man. Like that's my exact prediction, not the numbers, but the you know, if we got Matty Moore, we win. If it's Mahomes, we lose. And I'm thinking, let's say 30-23 with Matty Moore in there, Matty Ice. And, I'm thinking more of the lines of 34-31, 34-27, on the loser side with Mahomes. And like I said, I mean, on the road, Arrowhead, they're 5-3. And remember, you know, like, it's a state of mind. When we're 2-2, we wanted to get to 3-2. So we got it. We can't get to 2-3. Like, they can't get to 5-4. Like, it's different. You put, you know, it's natural instincts with athletes. You know, sometimes we forget they're humans, and it's kind of like an animal instinct too, where you trap them, they're going to do something that they're not normally capable of, but they're just going to do it because they have to. And there's certain times of the season where you're like, we need this win, dude. Let's just get it. And they get it. So, I think that's fair the way we predicted it on both sides. You know what I mean? It's not like we're just saying, well, I don't want to talk about it if Mahomes is in there, even though we kind of are feeling that. But, I just look at it and it's been four great games for Cousins. Okay. Well, I know a guy at the bar that said, you know, I'm a Michigan State fan, and every fourth game Cousins goes off the cliff for a game. And we've seen it now. You know, we've seen it. We saw it last year. We saw it at Green Bay. I don't think he played as bad as people say at Chicago. I think overall we played bad. But it has the makings of it. But, man, if we can run the ball or just play action, like, dude, we just need to dink and dump all the way. I don't care. 14 play drives, that's fine, dude, for 40 yards. That's fine with me. You know what I mean? Like, we need to keep that, you know, potent offense off the field. Oh, yeah, offensive line. Before we get to the Gophers, okay, we don't have a preview for the Gophers this week. We just have a recap and kind of a nutshell of how we're feeling and kind of break
okay,
it down.
Okay, but wait. So,
okay, go ahead.
You told me before we got on this podcast that you got something's under your skin. So it had something to do with, was it Collier from 1500
yep.
ESPN?
Yep.
And you wouldn't necessarily tell me. It had to do with the offensive line. So I guess I'll tee up for your rant here. What is he saying about the offensive line?
The rest of it. I wasn't leaving him alone.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't going to leave him alone. Oh, no, sorry, Bob.
So give me some
I was teasing the last 13 minutes of our podcast, for Christ's sake.
So give me some context as to what he said. That's got you.
So, you know, nothing to do with Matthew as far as personal level. I don't know the fucking guy. And he does a good job. He works hard. That's for sure. You could tell. He's everywhere. But I think he's got it dead wrong, and I know why. There's no reasoning. There's no – I know exactly why he's got it dead wrong. So him and Gus – or not Gus Frerotte, but Sage Rosenfels, right? they were talking, and they did a mid-season, since we're at the eight-game stretch. We got eight left. Okay, mid-season review. So they were grading every level of, you know, every position, basically. So I think they gave the running backs an A, you know, or A minus, A, whatever, which obviously, yeah. They gave Cousins, who he demolished last year, to the point where it's like, can he do anything? He gave him a B plus, which I think is fair, you know, because of just based off that pick in Green Bay knocks you out of the A minus, you know what I mean? So I'm fine with that. I don't give a shit about that. That's fine. But he gave this offensive line a C fucking minus. So a C is how you stay like eligible, right? Isn't a C minus below a 2-0? Before I go on my rant, is that true? At a 2-0 yeah, is a C, right? So if you're a C minus, you're below at C, right? You're below 2-0. Right. Okay.
So essentially he's saying that this offensive line is failing to do its job.
Exactly. It's a C minus. I think he said like an F minus for last year's stuff, and he was trying to, you know, give a point or whatever. But here's the thing. First of all, when you have the rushing attack that is creating all these holes, these gashes in the line for Cook to get to that second and third level, we all know, in fact, my co-host last week documented that goal line run by Cook, where it looked like he was going to go right. He just dashes, cut, and he's in the end zone, didn't get tackled. You know, he's amazing. We get it. He's fucking Sinatra Sinatra didn't twinkle toes. That doesn't line up. Who's twinkle toes? The fucking, is it Kelly? The old school guy? Help me out. Is it Kelly?
Fred Astaire.
Fred Astaire. Thank you. Twinkle toes. We know fucking we should start calling him twinkle toes Fred Astaire Cook. We know that. The Cookie Monster, that's nice. That's for the fourth quarter, but he's Fred Astaire. We get that. He's awesome. One of the best backs in the fucking league. You could make an argument he's the best, whatever. But the line play for the running game has been phenomenal. Like, and you can't just look at it last year, but I'm going to bring in last year basically because all summer he tore the Vikings GM a new asshole the whole time because he thought something, they thought something, and as of right now, he was just dead wrong and he just won't own up to it. I'm not saying in other categories, in other, you know, past hot takes that he won't own up to him and just say I'm wrong. I'm not saying that. I just know in this one, he's not doing it. So these fucking, like, these holes that they're creating, just the lat alone gives you a C. And I think that's a B right there because of the run game. Because what has the run game done? Well, it's open up the pass. When is – so now a screen pass is not a – I got a question for you. Is a screen pass part of the passing game?
Yes.
Does it go down as a technical forward pass, right? Am I right here?
Definitely.
Okay, so that means that's allowing for screen passes to, and we're way better at screen passes than we were last year. In fact, we're kind of on that 2 years ago level, and that's where Keenum was money, and that's where Mr. fucking Cousins, bread and butter is that. We've seen it a ton of times. Plus, it's not just creating the holes for the running back. It's also that edge. When you come out, you got to make sure you're going to be okay. You know, that there is something to that. Or to fake like you're blocking and get out and go get your man. It's a touchy, detailed thing. It's not just a random screen pass. My point is, he destroyed the Vikings front office for not going out and signing a top level, top tier offensive line. Now they could have went that route instead of Barr, and I wouldn't have been mad. I wouldn't have been mad at it, but we have said, and this is what's weird out of the sight of Matthew's mouth. He also will say, well, we've done that and look where it got us. I mean, did that work with Boone? He was gone his second year at the beginning of the year. Before the year started, we got rid of Boone. Did it happen with our current left tackle right now, who's going to make $13 million next year, and he is for sure going to get cut, or he's going to have to reduce his, you know, his obviously his number, his cap hit. But the thing is, and not only that, Let's add a left. So he got there. He destroyed the offensive line in the offseason as far as what they did to it. He basically is saying, although Bradberry has struggled, or I mean, he's improved the last couple of games, especially the last two or whatever, he's saying basically it makes it sound like one of the worst, you know, pro football focus ratings ever, right? Here's the thing. And this is what irked me the most. He just got, like, just admit you're wrong. The first, you know, when someone tries to prove something to you and they use this random stat or even just an okay stat, maybe it's out of context, whatever. And that's what he went right to. He said, I give him a C minus because, and this is based off pro football focus ratings. And we were somewhere in the 20s for pass protection. It has been a hit or miss. That's why I can't say we're a top five line or an A. Great, you know, but it's just crazy. And then he's scamming down. You can hear him on his computer in a sense, or not hear him, but you could see that he's scanning down, thinking we're in the 15s or 20s for rush block, which I don't know why we'd be there, but that's what he thought. He's like, oh, wait, actually, oh, we're seventh in pro football focus rushing blocking. It's like, dude, first of all, if your argument is because pro football focus told me, and they have a deal, some sort of packaging, you know, some sort of deal between them, 1500 in that actual Viking show and them, because it was funny because Boone at the beginning of the year just devoured those offensive line football focus rankings because he said, dude, you don't know what's going on at every position on every play unless you know the exact play, and you don't. So therefore, it's kind of bullshit. It's not that creditable of a stat. And it was just funny to hear that, you know, because he focuses so much on it, not to say focus. But to me, it's just like, dude, C minus, just say you were wrong. It's okay. And another thing that irked me, Aaron, he wouldn't even put Josh Klein as a starter, like write him in. He literally would say over and over again that we can't just write Josh Klein as a starter. It's like, and it was based off pro football focus from last year. And now he's a dwindling player because of what his numbers were and pro focus football blocking as an offensive line. All right, that's what his case was. And clearly the guy started 46 fucking games or whatever. Clearly he's a starter in the league, and especially on our team.
I'm going to slow you down just a bit.
Thank you.
There's two points I'll make, and I agree with you. That's an outlandish take, and I'll use as an example. Number one, and I can't say it emphatically enough, we have the league's leading rusher. Now, he's a great back, but nobody can do it by themselves. The running game has improved tremendously. Now, that's probably a combination of both Cook and this offensive line. Second thing is go ask Cousins. Go ask Cousins if the line's better than it was last year. Go ask Cousins what he'd grade the line. I don't see him looking for ghosts this year. I don't see him chucking balls away. I don't see him taking three-step drops on every single play. All right, he can go back. He can do five-step drops. He can go through his thing. He can roll out. We haven't heard Riley Reiff's name all year.
Besides
now,
Cook.
I know
two times
and getting trucked by and getting trucked by Khalil Mack again.
Sure,
but I mean it's Khalil Mack, all right?
Yeah.
So the problem I have with this offensive line is just one elf line. He needs to improve, but it's a far cry from Tom Compton last year. Okay. So I think that's an outlandish take by this guy. I think that he's obviously trying to cover up for a bad take he probably had. At some point, you just got to end it. This line is much better now. If I had to put a grade on him, I'm not going to give him an A. They got a lot of room to improve there.
Sure.
Pass protection isn't perfect. I think you need probably go a solid, just straight line B for me. In relatively to the last couple of years, it's an A for sure. Now, it could be scheme. It could be Cook. It could be new players. It's probably a combination of all three, but I'm right there with you.
And just to add, when you take stats, you got to take stats. You got to put them in context. And here's the context. We're third offensively in yardage in the fucking league. I mean, that's pretty good. That's not bad. We're third in rushing. We have the third best rushing attack in the league. Like, come on, dude. We got the number one rated passer. You, like you said, ask Cousins. That's a great, like, dude, how do you think we're doing the play action? Because we're opening up the holes. And then, you know, vice versa as far as the play action and whatnot. And, like, that still counts as a pass play and all that type of stuff. And there's a reason why Cousins doesn't have a ton of yardage this year either. The first game, he fucking threw 10 times. You know what I mean? Like, there is a reason why he's not fifth in yards this year. But who gives a fuck about yards, remember? Wasn't that the argument last year? Oh, 30 touchdowns. That's what he put up, the third best year of a quarterback in Vikings history. Dude just broke the completion record last week, but that shit didn't matter, remember? Oh, so now it matters when it comes with your theme. Anyway, we've gone too long. Thanks for cutting me off. I needed that. Oh, God, I needed that for a couple minutes.
So let's do anyway, the United States and Canada. Our Golden Gophers are currently ranked 13th in the nation, an 8-0 record after a very convincing win over the Maryland Terrapins at home. Really impressed, man. We got a huge game coming up. We're going to try to hold ourselves back from previewing it this week, maybe preview it next week, and maybe focus this week on Maryland. And just how emphatic of a win you and I, we both said we didn't see that coming. I think we both had that game a lot closer. They just came out and played great football. I hope they didn't spend their one great game of the year on this one because they're going to need it coming up. But, yeah, that was an impressive win. Ran the ball well, three different backs. We got a backup quarterback in who looked good. We got a backup running back in. This Trey Potts kid I've been talking about, he looks like the deal. So keep his red shirt on. But, yeah, it was an impressive one. What do you got to say?
Yeah, you're right, man. I got to start talking Penn State. No, I'm just kidding. You're right. I mean, I thought it was going to be under that 17-point spread or at least inching right near it. I really thought it would be a tighter game. You know, Winfield Jr., another pick, right position, right time. Durr got that pick six. You know, to come right out, get an interception, boom, 7-0. Made him punt. Boom, had a 13-play, 84 yards, 7:29 on the clock. And then we back it right up after a three and out with a touchdown drive. They fumble. We punted, but then we had an interception pick. Like, it was just, I mean, 28-0, 28-3 at half. Come right out with a nice drive, 10-play drive, 31-30. Got it to 38-30, like, or 38-3. Like you said, I did like how we got the backup quarterback in there. We ran the shit out of the ball. Rodney Smith has the all-purpose yardage now. I think he's, you know, creeping up on the rushing record, of course. I thought Morgan was pretty good. You know, he had a pick or whatever. You know, didn't play awesome early, but, man, I thought he was pretty good. Smith piled up another 103 yards. Brooks got 10 carries, so they're kind of going every other week with him right now, getting him ready. 321, though, overall at 5.9 a clip, 54 carries when they know you're going to run is pretty damn good, man. We can talk about who we're playing, and I get that. You know, a lot of fans here are talking about who have they played, and I understand that. But, you know, Purdue had that long-ass 90-some-odd-yard drive, and then they got the onside kick. That made that game tight. But it was 35-17 at some point, something like that, 38-17. But ever since then, and just in October in general, like, they've been, okay, bad teams, okay, but we're killing them. We're destroying them, though. So what do you do with a bad team? You treat them like a bad team, and you beat them up, and you get 50 points. 8-0, first time since 41. They won the national championship that year. I don't expect that this year, obviously. A lot of different records that we can keep going through. You know, it's two-game lead heading into November. It was a great win. It was a great performance. It almost was a sellout for Maryland, who's struggling somewhat this year. So it was great. And when you look at it, you know, instead of breaking down this Penn State game, it basically comes down to these last – it's 8-0. You got 12 regular season games. It's the last four games. You have Penn State at home, at Iowa, at Northwestern, and home Wisconsin. Now, in 2 weeks, no, Penn State gets a bye, we get a bye. Crazy thing is, Iowa and Wisconsin gets a bye. So next week, or not this week, but next week, it'll come down to, you know, instead of just focusing on Penn State, which is really hard not to, forget that outcome. I mean, if we win, you're never going to forget it, right? But just put it on the back burner, or just put it down to medium instead of boil. We're not going to let it simmer just yet. But in this 2 weeks, as a Gopher fan, I'm just enjoying it. And I realize that it comes down to four games. Are we going to go 3-1? Are we going to go 2-2? Or are we going 1-3? 2-2 gets you to the Big Ten championship game. It wins you the West more than likely. We could lose to Penn State. We could lose to Iowa. And if Wisconsin beats Iowa, we'd have to beat Northwestern and beat Wisconsin, still get in. So even at the worst case scenario, losing back-to-back games, which, by the way, the Badgers just did, it's really still there for it. And to get to 10-2, like hit the ground recruiting, just like this 8-0 record right now, this week, Fleck is out there right now recruiting. And, this guy, to get out there on an unbeaten 10-0, 12-2 in the last 14 Big Ten, like, it's just crazy. But it comes down to those last four games. And will we be 3-1, 2-2, or 1-3? That's really what it comes down to me. And if we can get to 10-2, it's a phenomenal year.
Yeah, I'm kind of seeing it as a sandwich here. You got, I really think the two biggest, hardest games to win are the first one of this stretch and the last one. Penn State's going to be a tough game. And this last Wisconsin game that's sticking in my craw, I can't beat it. I just feel like there's going to be so much on the line on that game. No matter how the other ones go, it's going to be a huge border battle. Battle for the axe. It's going to be, well, that's down the road. That's a month or so away. So we deal with what we've got. Iowa is never fun in Kinnick, like you've said a million times. And they won't be fun this year. I think those two middle games now are what we hope make, we hope to make hay. So we've got Northwestern, I don't want, you know, that's a road game too, man. And I don't want to take that for granted, because Northwestern will come up and bite you in the butt if you do that. So,
right.
You know, these last four, man. So you went 1-3, 2-2, you know, I want the first and the last one. Now that's a pipe dream. I think you're probably going to split those two first and last ones. We're either going to, I mean, that's my gut on it. I
think you got to.
Yeah. I mean, and so then can you win at Iowa? I think that's the pivotal one. Because of what you said about, you know, if Wisconsin beats Iowa, Iowa beats Wisconsin, you go down there and you beat Iowa and let the chips fall where they may, you're in a much better position, I feel like, going into that game against Wisconsin, not overlooking Northwestern. So, yeah, it's all, you know, conjecture right now. But I'd like... You need that 2-2 now. 2-2, like you said, can get us to the Big West final, possibly, if certain things fall our way. But I think it's possible to do 3-1. That's definitely possible. 4-4, I think, is out of the question. Or 4-0 is out of the question.
Now, you're right, though. 4-4 is out of the question.
Yeah. 4-0 is out of the question, I think. I think you're going to drop one. Now, if they don't, well, that's right. Amazing. But you're going to drop one. At least one. So I'm going to shoot for the 3-1. I think they'll probably end up 2-2. But it's not the end of the world, the 1-3. It does take a lot of momentum down. It does hurt the program a little bit. But if you put a gun to my head today, please don't. But if you do, I say we do 2-2. A very good possibility of 3-1. I just like the way this team's playing, man. It's just businesslike. You know, there are a lot of happy stuff going on. But when the seems like in between the lines, it's business, and they're playing that way. It makes me believe that they're not going to lay an egg. If they lose, they're going to lose a tough game, and that's what really comes down to. If you lose, make them earn it, and I feel like that's what's going to happen these last four games.
Yeah, I just want to belong on the field with these guys. That's, I know that sounds like, you know, as a fan, I'm just a realistic person. Like, I know that's like, oh, you know, like I've been talking to this dude from the East Coast from time to time, talking about the living in Loserville theme and all that. And he right away, he'd be like, see, that's a loser mentality to go 2-2 on that day. I don't have shit to do with what's going on the field, though. You know what I mean? I don't have one thing to do with what's going on the field. So, and if I had, we would have found out a long time ago. So that's why I say I'm good with 2-2. 10 wins would be phenomenal. And by the way, you're talking about if I had to put my gun to a head. If you need a gun, Curse has got a firearm for you. Now, he didn't have a permit, but no, I'm just kidding. I'm not, actually. He could probably get you one. Actually, it probably wouldn't be the time to hit him up right now, though. No. Let it maybe this summer. Yeah, I'm there, dude. I think you said it perfectly. I'm shooting for 3-1, but realistically, I think it'll be 2-2. 10-2 would be phenomenal. And just to add a layer to that ass game that's 6 weeks away, which is crazy to think, the percentage chance has to be pretty nuts to win back-to-back axes with Wisconsin. Because remember,
you were going right where I was going.
You know what I mean? So it's like you start to look, you go, oh, dude, that really just adds a layer to that.
to beat them back-to-back
is rough, dude.
It's going to be a huge game. Everything's funneling. It's all funneling to that game. So I'm going to amend what really I just said. The two wins I want. How about we do that? The two wins you want, let's say we go 2-2. The two wins I want out of those four games are Iowa and Wisconsin. Not because of the rivalry, just how it matches. Well, the Wisconsin one's definitely the rivalry. Iowa rivalry doesn't really do a lot for me. I know it does for other people, but not for me.
It's a pig, for Christ's sake. Right. Now, hold on. Hold on.
It's a trophy game now.
We live in dairy land here now. You got to respect it.
So if we drop Penn State, which is a definite possibility, and I would hate to drop to Northwestern, but let's say something happens.
Sure.
And you lose to Northwestern. The two I think we need and the ones I definitely want are Iowa and Wisconsin. How about you?
I'm right there with you. I just am going to enjoy that Penn State game unless it's a beatdown. Other than that, it is what it is. I'm literally going in there about as loosey-goosey as possible. Because I just don't want to have that play a part in the enjoyment of this season. Now, if they do go 1-3, do you deem this as not as good a season as we thought? Is that a problem? And obviously a major disappointment if we're 0-4. I mean, if we can't, we got to beat one of these teams down the stretch. Otherwise, this 8-0 doesn't feel as good. What do you think about that?
1-3 I can live with as a next step in the program, if that makes sense to you.
Right, but does it damper this season is the detailed part of the question. You're right.
Like your hopes and dreams for the
season?
Yeah,
I think we've...
of course it does.
The hump. Well, we've gotten over the hump. Not the hopes and dreams. I'm saying this season, it takes it down a notch if we go 1-3 and over 4. It puts it in perspective of this season, and the writing starts to come on the wall. Like, yeah, they were a bunch of bad teams that we beat. That's, I guess, my point. If we go 1-3 or 4,
I mean, it's ridiculous, man. We're talking about this. Yeah, what we're talking about is worst case scenario, a 9-3 Gopher season.
Yeah, seriously.
You know what I mean? We
talk about perspective
here, right? Exactly. Yeah, and it's like that's what I was saying about the next step in the program because that's what I will couch it with. You know, going 1-3, I'll couch it as okay. Great start to the season. Awesome. You know, we weren't quite ready for the big time.
Sure.
But next year is always next year type of thing. But, I mean, that's a 9-3 Gopher season. I don't care if you went undefeated or not or what the preamble to the season is. You do 9-3 and let's say you beat Wisconsin is that – the thing that will suck, man, is getting somehow done in as for future aspirations. But fucking Bucky Badger and having to deal with that all season out. Thank God we get him, you know, a little bit sooner in the season next year to maybe get some payback. But, you know, let's not start that now. I think we can beat him. I think we can beat any of these four teams. It's just, you know, get over this Penn State thing when it comes. And we'll preview it next week. And it's exciting because I'm going to do a lot of looking into them. That is a huge game, man. It's been so long. It's just great to have a great game and a big game back in town again.
100%. Any last words before we get the hell out of here, sir?
No, I think I've said more than I needed to say tonight.
I got about 7 more rants, but we'll save them. All right, man. We'll be back. Enjoy the games. Enjoy the Vikings next game. Try to anyway as much as possible. And really, these next 2 weeks, just soak it up gopher-wise, okay? Just soak it up. This is a lot better than you think it was ever, regardless of the outcome. Just enjoy it right now, because otherwise, what's the point? You know, what's the point? You got to enjoy it while it's here, especially when you're talking about Minnesota sports. That's why we call it Living in Loserville. Anyway, speaking of that, we're signing off on the Living Loserville podcast. We'll be back next week. Peace.